January 4th, 2009, Steve Armstrong.
But this is a good point. Even the best of intentions don't last long in your mind. They come into your mind, you have a good intention, say, yeah, that's a good thing to do, that's a kind thing to do, that's a generous thing to do, that's a thing. And that thought, that good intention, is gone in the next split second. The mind, this is the way the mind is. It's not my fault. I mean, this is the way the mind is. I could say it's my fault, but Candle might want to say it's your fault. But I'm not going to say it's my fault. This is the way the mind is. And so when we see these intentions arise in our mind, to be kind, to be generous, to be honest, to be friendly, to be supportive of others, take them, remember them, act on them right then. They don't last long. And when you see those intentions that are less than noble, well, thank God they're so quick and impermanent. Because if you don't grab onto them, they're not going to last long. That's intention. So I am responsible for my own actions and destiny. Oh, sorry. Anyway. I want to speak about this fifth reflection a little bit more. I'm responsible for my own actions and destiny, because this is, in Buddha's language or in Buddha's teachings, this is talking about the law of karma. And the law of karma is, it's an articulation of what has been observed by those who are very attentive to causes and conditions as they play out in our mind. So when we have this intention to do something, it plants a seed in the mind that produces an effect. And if the cause, or if the seed, or if the intention is wholesome, if it is an act of, or an intention to be kind, to be generous, to be honest, loving, compassionate, the fruit or the result of that action is felt as pleasantness. It's pleasant. When you're generous, you feel good. Whenever you remember your acts of generosity, you feel good again. It's available anytime you want to bring it to mind, or when you are compassionate, when you take active response to someone's suffering. And whether you can cure them or fix it or get rid of their suffering, that's not the point. You might be able to, and often we're not able to. Nevertheless, if we have the intention to address it, and that's all we have to do, is address it in our hearts and externally to address someone's suffering, whatever level of suffering it is, we feel, or the actor has a feeling of pleasantness, feeling pleasant in your own mind, feeling empowered, feeling beneficial, feeling worthy. And again, anytime you remember that, anytime you recall that incident or that memory, it brings that same response into the mind again. We all have infinite opportunities every day to plant the seeds of pleasantness in our heart and to recall them as often as we wish. I just want to remind you, partly because I know that you donated towards one of the shelters for the Burma cyclone people. I was just in Burma in November. And we went to visit many of you donated money to us to offer to some of the victims of the cyclone in Burma last May. And I was just in Burma with my friend Duke, and we went to visit some of these people. Some of the nuns that we supported, whose buildings were damaged, and some of the monasteries, and some of the individuals. And you can't believe how much it means to them, how much it meant to them, to have people that they don't know, just care enough about them to offer them relief from their suffering from the cyclone damage. And I want to tell you about one nun, because before the storm, we had been supporting this nunnery down in the Delta. And this nun had a shell of a building built, but she didn't have any floor on it. So second floor, you know, the two-story. So we offered her the money to build the second floor, put the second floor in and a set of steps up to it, and to put in electricity and things like that. Well, she got the floor in. During the cyclone, the water came through the village, and a lot of the people that live in that village just live in bamboo huts with thatch roofs that are pretty flimsy. And we were told that, initially we were told, that dozens of people came to that building to get out of the surge, the water surge, by going up to the second floor. Later, we were told, 300 people from the village had come to that building, gone up those stairs, and survived the cyclone, because the water downstairs at ground level was chest high. Well, we went to see this nun, and she said, no, it wasn't 300, it was 1,000 people. Now, you think, 1,000 people, you've got to be kidding, how can they all fit? But if you've ever seen the back of a pickup truck serving as a taxi in Asia, you know, 1,000 people could fit. You know, probably in this building. 1,000 people. You know, I think we gave a couple $1,000 and 1,000 people lived because somebody built the floor in the building. That memory or that knowledge, and many of you offered, so, you know, it's your gift too. You can bring that memory to mind anytime you like, and the feeling will be there again. Just like that. And many of us offered also shelters, because we were building shelters for about $500. You can build a shelter for an extended family for $500 down in the Delta. And, well, I know $500 is a lot of money. But really, you know, it's worth it to provide someone a home for 5 to 8 years. When we take the opportunity to do good in the world, to be generous, to be kind, to be loving, to be compassionate, we never lose. It lays the foundation for happiness in our life. Happiness in the moment, happiness when you think about it. It's just this is how we use, you know, our awareness and our spiritual life, our concern and care for life, to bring happiness into our life in the present moment. It's not very mythical, it's not very mystical, it's not very spiritual, it's just kind of common sense, really, once you see how it works in your own heart. So I want to encourage you all to take the opportunities that come to your mind. Take the opportunities that come to mind for doing good in your life. It may be a stretch, you know, of time or money or understanding or whatever, but You won't lose anything from it. You can only gain happiness from doing good. The Buddha offered a path to happiness, and it is the path of awareness. And what I've been speaking about is different components of that path, different areas of our life that we can bring awareness to as a way of realizing happiness in this present life. The challenge for us is that the momentum of our conditioning and the momentum of our culture is not generally in that direction. There are pockets of really good and noble people in the world. Let's not deny that. But the contemporary culture is consumer minded, and it posits your happiness in consumption, and we have to look at that and really see if that's true for ourselves, and to bring some understanding to our habits of mind and our habits of behavior, and to really see which of them is bringing happiness into our life. What we do makes a difference. It makes a difference to us now and in the future. It makes a difference to others now and in the future. And to know how to act, how to be in the world, takes awareness, which is what we're doing. Is we're developing, trying to become aware, just trying to become more aware of what is actually going on in our life. What's going on in our bodies, what's going on in our minds, what's going on in our relationships, what's going on in the world at large. Because when we're aware, when we really see things as they are, then we can address them. We can respond to them with awareness and understanding, rather than react to them out of habit or ignorance or confusion. So I want to end by encouraging you all to continue your practice, and we will be again offering these day-longs about once a month for those of you who are on island, and I encourage you to come. So thank you for listening to this New Year's reminders.
Sadhu.
Now, we have a few gifts for you today. All of you are going to receive some gifts from us. One is a little strip of all the dates that we're going to have these day-longs that you can use a magnet and put on your refrigerator to remind yourself. So that's your first gift. The second gift is a double-sided page out on the table that is a review of our activities over the past year. It's kind of like a 2008 year-end review. And I encourage you just to take a copy and look it over just to see what we've done. I didn't put down our aspirations for 2009. That's a multi-page document. So that'll come later. And then finally, we've had printed up some little booklets on loving kindness, the words of the Buddha on loving kindness, and some commentary on it and how to practice it. And they're all out on the table, out to the side there. So please, each one of you, as our gift to you this year, let these reminders help remind you to practice and when to come here. So thank you for coming. And just for those of you who are only here for half day and might be leaving now or before the end of the day, please drive carefully, slowly up the hill and out. We want to be respectful of our neighbors and pets, and their grandchildren who have been in the neighborhood this week. So please be careful of that. At 1:30. Yeah. So at 1:30, those who wish to take the refuges and precepts again, then come here and we'll formally offer them to you again. We'll ring the bell to call you. It's nice to see you all again, and it's nice to see those of you who I've seen for the first time. If you have the opportunity, we'll see you again. And we'll be here through the afternoon, so if you're planning on staying, please just enjoy your lunch and then